Okay, so we're on Daf tonight. We've been discussing the sota with the woman suspected of being a sota, drinking the water. The water is obviously the special water that has the scroll, the print of the scroll dissolved in it, the dirt from the mikdash or the where before the mishkan. So I'll begin three lines at the top on Chaf Amud Aleph. The Gemara is at the end of a sugya, but the Gemara said that according to Rabbi Akiva, if a woman doesn't want to proceed forward with this test, so it depends a little bit on her composure. If she's like cool as a cucumber, so then we take it as an admission of guilt. In other words, the path she doesn't want to go forward, that's like an admission of guilt, and maybe so she won't go forward, but she'll be divorced and lose her ksuba. But if on the other hand she's like an emotional wreck, then we figure that she really feels she's innocent, but it's just sort of been strengthening herself as a fearful experience, but then we're going to force her to go take the drink. That's what we said in the Gemara. So let's take a look at the Gemara and we'll discuss a minute. Three lines at the top. Let's say a woman says, I'm not drinking, but it's Mishum Briyuta, meaning she's fully sound. It sounds like she's composed. So that we took as an admission of guilt that she was Tameya. But Chazra Amra Shotani. And then a minute or two later, she changed her mind. Like changes her plea and says, "No, I'll go forward. I'll drink the water." Mahu, what's her status? Even to Amra Eini Shotah, once she says, according to Rabbi Akiva, "I'm not drinking," that's Tameya Ani Ka Amra. Then she's saying, "I committed adultery." That's the way Rabbi Akiva takes it. If she says, "I'm not going to drink," and she's fully composed, that's an admission of guilt, and not that we're going to execute her, but there are legal repercussions for that. We came into Asikash for the Tumah. Once she establishes that she was Mizana, she can't be chozer from that. Or perhaps we could say, since she changed her position so quickly, and then she went over and said, "Now I will drink," maybe she appeared composed on the outside, but really inside, she really wasn't composed, because that's the only way we can explain it, how she's switching over her plea at this point in time, and maybe she could change it. So the word is taken. The word does not resolve that issue and leaves that as a taken. All right, just move three lines and we'll pause. We'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Amar Abu de Shmuel, Mar, the Tokamayim. So the father of Shmuel says that they have to add something that will make the water taste bitter. In other words, even before they do anything to the water, add the dirt or dissolve the scroll in it, the water has to be taste bitter. They have to add some ingredient to make it taste bitter. The Amar Kram Me Hamarim. It says, Mei Hamarim, the bitter water. So Mei Hamarim here, the way the Chazal is saying, it's not referring to the waters that bring a curse. Mei Hamarim, Shemarim Kibar, that they were already bitter even before anything was done to it. Okay, just one second. Okay, so again, when we talk about Rabbi Akiva, we meant we're at a stage and point in time when the Megillah has already been dissolved. That's when Rabbi Akiva says that if she tries to pull out, we could go forward. But if she gets composed, then we take it as an admission of guilt. Okay, who's got questions? Comes to the one.
I do.
Okay, one second. Mayor is asking a question. Yeah. So according to Rabbi Akiva, if she's saying Tamei Ani, so the purpose of the Mayim Hama'arim is right. It's only to be Mabara the MS when we don't know the MS. If we know the MS, we're not going to use this Mayim. We're not going to go forward with it. That's the basic idea with it. So we're going to leave it the way it is with that way. So if she says something, point to Rabbi Akiva, and it's clear to us that she's an admission that she was Mizana, we're not going to go forward. That's the way he takes it. Okay, what do you want to say, Fern?
Just let's say you have a woman who was not Mizana, and she says she's not drinking, and she says she'll drink it, and at the end she loses her nerve because she's afraid.
That's what we were just talking about.
So let's say she's afraid that the water will incorrectly judge her.
All right.
Is she considered like a koferet or something?
That was the case. We're going to force her to go forward with it. We're going to force her to go forward.
How do we do that? She's willing to give up the ketubah. She's willing to give up the husband. and then we
again, if she says Tamea Ani, that's different. In other words, if she says I was Mizana, then that's a different piece. Then everybody she leaves. But if she just
if she says
I don't want to drink the water, that's a different sort of a situation.
Saying right? I don't want to drink the water is not tantamount to a confession.
So that's what he said. According to Rabbi Akiva, it depends, you know, if she's saying it and she's fully composed, and then we assume that's an admission of guilt. But if she's like, you know, for a tzitzit, then we don't take it as an admission of guilt. All right.
And say how we make this water bitter?
I don't know. Okay. All right, let's take further in the Gemara. All right, now the next Mishnah. Everybody with me?
Rough stuff.
Okay, let's take a look. So on line 10, Manitin, Ashto Nimcha Megillah, if before the Megillah, the scroll, the writing on the scroll has been dissolved, Amra Eini Shota, she says, I'm not going forward, I'm not drinking. Megillah Tanignaza. Now, if she says Eini Shota, then we said it's before the Megillah was Nimchaka. So she can say Eini Shota, and then he'll divorce her, and then no ksuba, and then Litra'ot. She says, but Amra Eini Shota, Megillah Tanignaza. So the Megillah has to be put in Geniza, and this comes out, there's a place in the base of Mikdash for the Geniza for the Megillah. Umin Chata mit Pazer Odeshin. Her mincha offering, the mincha sota, is burnt, but it's not burnt on the mizbeach. Again, Rashi explains that there were three beit hadeshen. Beit hadeshen is where you have psuli korbanot. So what, one is in the base of Mikdash, one is on the Har Abayit, and one is outside Yerushalayim, I think. So this one is on the beit hadeshen in the base of Mikdash. He says, so it's burnt on the beit hadeshen, not on the mizbeach. The ein megillah tak shir lashkopa sota acher. But we can't retread that megillah and use it for a different sota. Nimcha kah Megillah, here's the key line. If the Megillah is already dissolved, it means Shem Hashem has already been dissolved. The Amra Tamei Ani, and she says, I'm Tamei Ani, which means I committed adultery. Amayim Nishpachem, then we'll pour the water out. Umin Chatam et Pazered al Beit Hadeshen. And the Mincha again, we burnt on the Beit Hadeshen. And then she leaves with certain, you know, implication. But she, one, again, it's like you were saying, Bernard, or we were discussing before. Once she says Tamei Ani, that's it, gone. That's the end of our inquiry. He says here, but Nimchata Megillah, let's say the Megillah was erased, Ra'amra Eini Shota. She says, I'm not drinking. And it seems from what the Gemara is going to say that this mission goes according to Rabbi Akiva, Ma'arin Otama Ashkenata Ba'al Korecha. Then we force her to drink the water. That's the case, we force her to drink the water. Now, if she was guilty, the Tana Mishnah says, Eina Maspekat Lishtot, she doesn't even like complete drinking. Her face turns sallow, her eyes start protruding, and like her veins start popping out. And the people assembled say, take her out so she won't be mitame the azara. So she's standing at the top at Shari Nicanor. She's at the gates of Nicanor, where the Mitzorah normally stands for the Torah process. So they say, so the simple shot, I would think, which the Gemara is going to reject, is that we're afraid she's going to drop dead on us, and then it's may mate. But the Gemara is going to say that's not the Hesber, because the place where she's standing is just the din of Har Habayit. Har Habayit, a dead body can be brought to the Har Habayit. So the Gemara is going to explain that we're afraid that she's going to become a Nida, like through all the fear, like everything opens up. He says, but now, here's an important line in the Mishnah. If she had a zechus, she had a merit, the merit could delay the impact of the mayim ma'arim, in other words, of these, you know, right, the water. So the Gemara's don't explain, though, not tonight, that the merit would be that she, you know, makes sure her son, her father, husband goes to Daf Yomi. He makes sure that the kids are studying in yeshiva. That would be the merit. This is yesh zechut t'lashana achat. It says, and then a bigger zechus, it could push it off for 2 years. A bigger zechus, even 3 years. So it could be there might be a delayed reaction to Zmayim Ma'arim. Mikanamar Ben Azai, Mikanamir Ben Azai, from here Ben Azai says, Chayavadam Lamed Bito Torah, a person's obligated to teach his daughter Torah, and this is like the big sugya for women studying Torah, we'll see shortly, and tomorrow night we'll go over a little bit more. He says, meaning that he should teach her Torah so she'll learn that if she has a zechus, that could delay it. So in other words, so she shouldn't think, let's say if she was Mizana, Rachman al Islan, and drinks the water, and then nothing happens, I'm home free. She should know, like she shouldn't, you know, be kofar or koferet, you know, she should know that if you have a zechus, it could delay the onset of whatever's happening to this Malim HaMa'arim. You know, a few more lines, and we'll pause, we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Reb Lezer Omer, Golamalami Bito Torah, and we'll discuss this again more tomorrow night, but the main sugya is tomorrow night. He says, Golamalami Bito Torah, whoever teaches his daughter Torah, Lomda Tiflut, teaches her like sexual immorality. So Rashi will explain in tomorrow's daf that it, like she learns the way, like sort of like, you know, get out of things. In other words, she'll learn ways to engage in illicit behavior without getting caught. That's the way Rashi learns. We'll see. Rabbi Yeshua Meir, Rotsa Isha B'Kav B'Tiflut, Mitsha Kavin U'Prishut. Rabbi Yeshua says a woman would prefer a kav is a measure of like mazon. In other words, like a small measure of food or sustenance or income. He says, B'Kav B'Tiflut, in other words, she would rather have like this free, loose life, even at the cost of her, you know, her income standard. He says, "Me tisha kabin u'prishut," and tisha kabin making a lot more money, but having a life of abstinence. In other words, women, the Gemara says, are very susceptible to that. He says, "Hu haya omer," he would say, Rabbi Yeshua would say, and again, we'll discuss this later on the Gemara, though not tonight. Tomorrow's the Gemara. Chasid shote is, let's say, a woman is drowning in the ocean or in the river, and he says, "Oh, you know, this, I can't save her. I can't look, you know, let her drown." He says, that's a chassid shotel, like he's being pious, but foolishly pious. Rasha Arum is a sneaky Rasha. Let's say he has a din Torah, and he sneaks in a statement to the Dayan, you know, to like, he makes his arguments before the other Baal Din comes. That's like to, you know, prejudice the Dayan against the other Baal Din. That's a Rasha Arum. The Isha Prusha is a woman who's like, makes a false show of piety. Each one is like something wrong. A false show of piety. In other words, she's really like engaged in kishuf, and then the person who she's targeting gets sick or whatever. She says, "Oh, I'm going to pray for her." You know, that type of thing. Like, you know, being one way and really another way. Umakot Prushin. Mako Prushin is again a person who is like he's trying to like induce like wounds banging into doors, but it's like a false. Again, a
two-faced.
These people are the ones who destroy the world. Okay, now, wait, one second. I'll pause it just 1 minute. Let's just see what we have here. Okay, I'm just going to do a piece from the Aladaf, and then we'll open up the floor. Okay, the Mishnah says that sometimes Sota does not immediately die from the effects of the Sota drink, even though she's guilty. If the Sota has a chus, a merit of Torah study, the pill effects of the drink could be delayed up to 3 years. But Azai concludes from this that one should teach his daughter Torah, i.e. the Sota passage, so she should be aware of the concept of Sfutola, the merit of Torah defers the death of a guilty Sota. The commentators explain that Ben Azai is concerned that a woman who observes a Sota, who she strongly suspects or knows to be guilty, Sai said she was guilty, but she knows somebody else is guilty, partake of the Sota drink with no apparent ill effect, might come to doubt the efficacy of the Sota water and will not fear its punishment. She might then become lax about adultery and influence her friends to feel the same. Alternatively, she might come to ridicule and distrust the entire Torah. Reb Lezer disagrees and says that teaching one's daughter Torah is tantamount to teaching her tiflut, immorality. First, Israel explains that Reb Lezer is against teaching one's daughter the concept of zechus tola, for might diminish her fear of the soak of water. So Reb Lezer says in the Mishnah. Yeah, so Reb Lezer says, in other words, the first Tana holds that I should teach my daughter that if she has a chuyos, so then it'll delay the effect. Reb Lezer says, don't teach her that. She might not be frightened to commit adultery, thinking she will be spared the effects of soaked water due to her zechus. So I'll, you know, encourage my kids to study and go to yeshiva, and right, and then I can be mizana. But that's the way the Tana Reb Lezer is going to learn. Now, according to the Teres Yisrael, it's possible that the dispute between Ben Azai and Reb Lezer is limited to the topic of our Mishnah, whether or not teach girls the concept of Zechut Tola, and that has no relevance to the permissibility or advisability of teaching girls other Torah topics. So the way this first girl is teaching, the only issue in play is, do I teach my daughter that right, the din of a sota, that his chus will be cause her to be told or not. That's the way it's first Israel's learning. Rashi, however, and I think this Rashi is tomorrow's daf, explains that Reb Lezer is against teaching girls any topic of Torah, because Torah study in depth will sharpen their mind, and they might use their cunning to conceal immoral behavior. That's the way Rashi explains. Now, the following Rishalmi indicates that Ben Azai does not only permit teaching girls the concept of Sukkotola, but other Torah topics as well. So now he's going to bring a proof from the Rishalmi, that Rishalmi permits teaching Torah. The Pasuk in Devarim, Perek Lamed Aleph, states that, by Hakel, that Hakel and Anashim, Anashim Vataf, gather the men, the women, and the children once every 7 years to hear the Kriyasa Torah in the Azara, on the Harabayit. It's in the Ezra's Nashim, I think, when the Kriyasa Torah takes place, Ezra's Nashim. So portions of Sefer Devarim. He says, Hakel is the mitzvah that requires all plies to assemble in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash once in 7 years on the festival of Sukkot following the Shemitah year. Listen to the king read Sefer Devarim. The Blasim and Azariah and Chagiga Daf Gimel says the men attend Hakel to learn Torah and women come to hear the Torah reading. The Yerushalmi, cited by Tosfos on Kaf Aleph, remarks that the Blasim and Azariah, who says that women attend only to listen to the Torah reading but not study, disagrees with Ben Azai, who sanctions Torah study for women. So the Bali Tosfot, they understand that Ben Azai, the Blasim and Azariah, who says that women come to listen to the Torah, he, the Rishami says, he, the Blasim and Azariah, is Mechulak with Ben Azai in our Mishnah. This Rishami indicates that Ben Azai does not merely approve of the study of the Sota passage and the concept of Schotola, but study the entire Torah, and the king would read the Sefer Devarim and Hakel, not the Sota passage. So that sounds like, in other words, if the Rishami is saying that there's a machlok between the Blasim and Azariah and Ben Azai, and the Nakuda and the Machloket is, one holds that they're coming to hear the words of Torah, the other is holding that they're, that Ben Azai would hold they could study the words of Torah, so that sounds like that Ben Azai indeed holds that women, that's the way it sounds like. Now, the Divrei Yoel is a Satmar Rav, however, suggests that the reason Ben Azai is of the opinion that women should study the Book of Devarim and Hakel is the Book of Devarim contains the Pasuk, Ki hu chayecha b'yorech yamecha, the Torah is your life and length of your days. This Pasuk underscores the concept that the merit of study of Torah prolongs life and it can protect the Sota from the fatal effects of the water. Therefore, the Yerushalmi says, according to Ben Azai, women should not attend Hakel with the year of superficial reading of the Torah, but rather they should study the lesson of Schus Tola is derived from the Pasuk, Ki hu chayecha b'yorech yamecha. So the Satmar Rav sort of wants to cut it back and say, in other words, Ben Azai says that they should come to Hakel, but not to study the whole Gantz Torah. In other words, just to study this one Pasuk that says the Torah is chayecha b'yorech yamecha, and from there you could derive that there's a chus of teaching, of making sure that her husband or her kids study Torah, who was chus tola. All right, now, okay, let's hear it. I see unhappy burn. Okay, let me hear questions, comments, and thoughts.
No, well, I mean, you have a whole Beis Yaakov movement a century ago. They don't teach their girls Gemara, but...
Right. Okay, so again, let's go slowly with this. We'll talk more tomorrow night. So Sarah Schneer, the head of the Beis Yaakov, the founder of the Beis Yaakov, went to the Chafetz Chaim before she founded the Beis Yaakov and asked him for his Haskama, the Chafetz Chaim's Haskama. So the Chafetz Chaim has a blurb, the Kutei Halachot. The Kutei Halachot is the Chafetz Chaim, was a big believer in the study of Kachim, Seder Kachim. So he went through it. He was a Kohen, but he thought that all the Kohenim should need to learn more about said to touch him, so the base of this is rebuilt, and we'll be able to do the avoda right away because Mashiach comes in the Kohanim who are avoda ready on day one. So he went through all of Shas and he took out the sugyas that relate to avoda, and it was like sugyas that relate to avoda, and then he wrote a commentary on it. So he obviously besect sota with the sota, you have things that relate to the avoda. So in it he has a blurb, and he says that in previous generations the girls were able to get whatever they needed in the home. But he said, now things have changed. And he says, now the girls need to hear, some chumash and things that were, permissible, but they need to hear it more formally in a school setting. Now, I didn't go over this recently, but I think there's a piece from Satmar Rav on this also. He says that the Chafetz Chaim was just formalizing that which had been true all along. But that's with the Beis Yaakov movement. So Beis Yaakov is not permitting anything that wasn't otherwise permissible. They're doing everything that was always permissible for the women. And the Chafetz Chaim just says they'll study Tanakh, they'll study Pirkei Avot, they'll study those things that they're permitted to study. In other words, All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
Does anybody say anything about? It looks like the word tiflut with a taf has the same shoresh as tefillah.
I tell you the truth. It's interesting. I didn't make that connection. Let me look a little bit tomorrow. So usually they say tiflut is something that has like no taste and things like that, or it's like immorality. Tefillah is from Palel, Pei Lamed Lamed.
Introspect.
I think it's a different shoresh. I think tefillah is from Pei Lamed Lamed. Tiflis is Taf Pei Lamed is the shoresh for that. But let me look a little bit into this. Okay, let me hear from Yosef, because when you're there, you can hear when people are trying to get my attention here. Okay, but let's go ahead.
She's not guilty, but she has the food. She's going to last another maximum 3 years.
Right.
How is she not guilty?
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, Yosef asked, let's say the woman is really guilty and now the effect is being delayed for 3 years. So how is it that she can be with the husband? That was what the Mesot was supposed to barer, but it won't be barer for 3 years. Very good question. I don't know what to say to that. Let me look into that as well. What? If Belinet, or if I get a chance, or him or whoever else. Lefora, it sounds like she would be with the husband. It sounds like. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. Okay, now.
That was a good question.
Yeah, it was a very good question. Yeah, very good question. He has a little bit more about women. Let me just say a little bit here, and then we'll move on with this. It's really in tomorrow's daf. Rashi explains that the study of Torah includes a chachma, and she'll acquire sort of like guile to know how to do a sin, is the way Rashi explains. But the Rambam learned, the other Rishonim explained, the Chashash is the words of Torah, she'll distort the words of Torah and say things not al pi halacha. Now, I'll leave out part of it, but he has one paragraph here that even though it sounds like from our sugya that you shouldn't teach Torah to women, and that's nifsak la halacha. Nevertheless, in all the generations, there were women who were chachamot and knew chachmat Torah, like Bruria, the wife of Reb Meir. And more recent generations, there were individual women. One was the grandmother of the Kabos Yair, Reb Yair Bakra, and that they said he testifies concerning his grandmother that a lot of Talmid Chachamim consulted with her with Dibrei Halakha. And then there's Edus that's brought on the wife of the Netziv that was also Osek in Limud Torah most of her days. So and my understanding is, I've heard that the wife of Rav Aaron Cutler, I think she reviewed his farm or something. All right. Now, there's also a piece where, here he quotes from the puppets. Oh, no, no. He quotes now from his Kana Aaron here. This kind of Aaron was from Aaron Walton, and he writes, he lived like in the 1930s. I think he died in the 1930s. He says, "Be told either in these times, Sharachov Malay Holo Pesuklet, like there's so much, like you know, irreligious levity in the streets. We have Ruach Hakira Amina Mizrakapet Sirim. There's so much heresy abounding. And on Sadek Rakotan has Zocho that is Tofei Bati Hashem of Hasur Lekinu Yafichu. That you have, they have to have." Like women need to have an education. And the Chafetz Chaim also writes, and previous generations, the Torah from the forebears was very strong. Relied the women to be on the right weaker, but I miss and But anyway, Billy Netter will talk a little bit more tomorrow night about this. Okay, let me see further in the Gemara. Now, we're on Chaf Min Aleph, 20 lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Amar Shmuel Mishum Rav Meir." So Shmuel is an Amora. He lives in the 3rd century. He has a Masorah from the Tana Rabbi Meir. He says, "And Shayiti Lamei Torah Eitzel Rabbi Akiva." The Meir says, "When I would study Torah by Rabbi Akiva." So Rabbi Meir is studying Torah by Rabbi Akiva. Remember, we had Kan Katum in the daf we did on Shabbat, that was daf Yud Zayin. We said that's the ferrous sulfate, and we said it made the ink indelible. In other words, if you add the Kan Katum, it doesn't erase. So he says, so I would put Kan Katum in the ink that I would use to write, you know, Sfarim, and Sifrei Torah, and he didn't say anything. Shabbat is Rabbi Shmuel Amarli Bini Mamalakta. When I came to study by Rabbi Shmuel, so here the order is going to be important. So Rameir first studies by Rabbi Akiva, then he studies by Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva doesn't in any way object him putting Kantantum in the ink, and Rabbi Shmuel does. He says, well, it says, what's your trade and profession? Amartilo Lavlarni, I'm a sofer. Amarli Bini Habe Zahir Shamat Kamalek Shemayim, he, Shematasir Odakat, or Tatir Odakat, or the way the Bach has Tiatir Odakat. If you're not careful, you add a letter or take away a letter, instead of Tamak, we would call them Kulo. You can leave people on the wrong derech. And Rashi brings down, for example, the Rashi has, like it says, Hashem Elokim Emet. If you leave out the Aleph, the Chas V'Shalom says Hashem Chas V'Shalom Emet. Yeah. Or you add a letter, like it's not Bereshit Bara Elokim, but Bereshit Bara'o Elokim. In other words, he created Elokim, somebody created Elokim. Anyway, so he says, Amartilo, Devarachad Yeshli, Shanimatil. So I said, Rameir said, I had to Rabbi Shmuel, I have something, Shanimatil Tokad Yo, I add it to the ink, the Kankatam Shmo, it's this ferrous sulfate, Amarli, and that makes the ink indelible. So Amarli, Vitimatil Kankatam Tokad Yo. So he says, are you allowed to do that? He says, Atorah Amro, Umacha, Tavshifol Machot. So he says, the Torah says that the Parsha, the Sota, has to be susceptible to being dissolved in the water. So Rabbi Shmuel, we're going to see further in the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel holds that all the parsha of the Sota and any Sefer Torah has to be capable of being dissolved, and that he doesn't hold that there's a requirement that it be written in the Shema, and that it be something that a person could use for the Sota. So he does not agree with using this Kankatum. Says, now, the Gemara says, Maika Amarle, Maika Mahadarle. The Gemara doesn't understand the give and take between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shmuel. So the word Zahat Kamarlei. So this is what Rabbi Shmuel was saying, what Rabbi Meir was saying to Rabbi Shmuel. He says, Zahat Kamarlei, Lomabai Bechaser Vitero Dbakiana. Back in the list, some words are Malay and Kasir. Some words, you know, this way in Hebrew, words can be written Malay or Kasir, like the word Olam can be written Ayin Vav Lamed Mem. That's Malay. Or Ayin Lamed Mem with a Olam, with a dot, that's Kasir. So he says, I'm backing on all the words that are Malay and Chaser, but Ella, people may have this move, Zilma'ati Yati Batagin Dalit, but even to be concerned that a fly might come and rest on the corner of Dalit, that was the upper right hand corner of a Dalit, if you raise the ink, it looks like a Reish. You must for the Reish. Nevertheless, the Barakat Yeshi Shani Matil Topadio, but Kam Katum Shmel. So I have this additive to the ink, and nothing's going to erase that ink. So even if the fly comes when the ink is wet, there's going to be a rosham of that dalit. It's not going away. So that's the conversation that they have with one another. So the Gemara asks on this, is this true? But Tani, we learn in a different brisa, and here the Seder is going to be different, and the holding is going to be different. This is Ini Vatania, Amarei Meir, Shikilamei Torah, sort of Shmuel. So in this brisa, Rameir starts off with Rabbi Shmuel. Before he started off with Rabbi Akiva, now he starts off with Rabbi Shmuel. He says, "Hayiti matel kan kantum tochad yo." I would put kan kantum in the ink, which is this ferrous sulfate. Below Amarli Dabarim, Rabbi Shmuel did anything. So in the earlier one, Rabbi Akiva didn't say anything, and Rabbi Shmuel objected. Here, first he studies Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel is silent. He says, "Shabbat is to Rabbi Akiva," and then when I went to study with Rabbi Akiva, Astralai, he answered it to me. So first the Shitot are reversed, because in the first price, Rabbi Akiva was okay with it, Rabbi Shmuel was not. Here it's just the opposite. In addition to which, right? In addition to which, the first brayse, first he studied with Rabbi Akiva, and then he went to study with Rabbi Shmuel. Second brayse, he went to study with Rabbi Shmuel, and then he went to study with Rabbi Akiva. So the verse is Kasha Shimush Hashimush. So the order of his study is vermished, reversed. Kasha Astra Astra. And then who is it that was astraing using the Tankantum? Was it Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva? So Mishlimish Shimush Hashimush Lo Kasha. So the verse says, as far as the order of Rabbi Meir's studies is not really necessarily a contradiction. I could say initially Rabbi Meir started with Rabbi Akiva, which would be the way the first brisa says. He says, but Rabbi Akiva would make arguments both ways. So Rabbi Meir got confused, like which way is the halacha? In other words, he didn't know. In other words, he's arguing this way, arguing the other way. So he wasn't able to determine what the halacha was. He says, so then he went to Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara, and then he learned all the Masoras from Rabbi Shmuel, and then Hadar Atla coming to Rabbi Akiva, then he went back to Rabbi Akiva. So he said, so the water is Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. So then we can explain the brisa. So the first brisa is he said to Rabbi Akiva, then he goes to Rabbi Shmuel. This is the first brisa. Second brisa, he studied with Rabbi Shmuel and he went back to Rabbi Akiva. So that we're able to resolve. So Atar Atal come to Rabbi Akiva, Sabar Sabara. So then he went back to Rabbi Akiva to learn all the different svaras for the arguments. That is good. Ela Astra Astra Kasha. So but the Gemara says, yeah, but there's still a contradiction. Who was one of them was prohibiting we using the Kamkantum, and it's not clear. According to the first brisa, it's Rabbi Shmuel, according to the second brisa, it's Rabbi Akiva. That's a contradiction. So the verse is Kashi. Indeed, that is a contradiction. We don't have an answer to that. All right? Let me do a few more lines and then I will pause.
Okay.
The bottom line on a couple of them. So Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Now, this is the Rabbi Yehuda. This is the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Tana, Rabbi Yehuda was a bar plucked for a mayor, the Rashas. So Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Omeria Rameir, the Rameir would say, that for all, like the Psukim and Chumash, you can add the Kankantum, the ferrous sulfate, to the ink. Says, turn page, top line, Chutz mi parshat Sota Bubat, except for the parshat of Sota Nat. This sounds a lot like, in the second Brisa, the, like what Rabbi Shmuel was saying, right? Let me see, what's that? Let me see. I'm sorry, the first price, right? First price is that way, right? First price. In the first price, Rabbi Shmuel says, he questions whether you could put the contents over the DL because you need it for Parsha Sota. It shouldn't be there. So that sounds like that Rameir was toe-faced for Rabbi Shmuel's Shita, but that's what it sounds like. He's borrowing a page from that. He says, in the second brisa, the original didn't say anything about the Kankantum. He says, the woman killing Kankantum with Tokadio, Chutz, mi parshat Sota Babad. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Mishmo, Rabbi Yaakov's Masorah from Remeir is that he said, Chutz, mi parshat Sota Shal Mikdash, except for the parshat Sota that's used in the base of Mikdash. So the verse is, my Beinai, what's enough to mean between the Kushitot? One says that you can't use the Kankantum in the parshat Sota, and Rashi says, I feel the Basifri Torah. The other says, only the parshat Sota Mikdash. So Amr B'Yirmiel and Chokla Minha Torah Ika Benayu. So the Nekudah Machloka between these two versions of what Rameir said is whether a person is allowed to take a Sefer Torah, presumably take a scissors, cut out the Psukim from the Parsha Sota in Parsha Naso, and use that for a Sota. Are you allowed to do that? So according to the first version, the first Tana, which is Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rameir, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could do that. In other words, therefore, you can't write a Sefer Torah with Kankantum, those psukim, because it has to be eligible to use for a Sota. And so I can't do that. Whereas according to Rabbi Yaakov's version of Rameir, it's only the Megillah that I write in the Beis HaMikdash. So apparently Rabbi Yaakov holds that the Megillah has to be written Lishma, has to be written with this woman in mind and this man. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. That's what we think. So let's take a look.
So but that six, means that they're saying
Wait, just wait another 10 lines. I'll make a big pause in 10 lines. So I'm Rabbi Yirmiyahu, the folk lamin Torah, Iki Benayu. So the verse is the Hani Tanai, Ki Hani Tanai. These two Tanai that we just went over seem to track the same machloket that we see elsewhere. We're on line 4 on Chafam Beis 20b. Mordechai, nice to see you. Chafam Beis, page 40, line 4. He says, the Bahari tonight, the Tani, we learned the Braisa. So the Braisa says that the Megillah, which is used for what was written for one sota, is not kasher to be reused for a different sota. In other words, let's say she pulls out, she's some Tamei or whatever, and I wrote the Megillah ready, I can't use that Megillah for a different sota. Right. Rabbi Achai Bar Yoshia, so that we think holds, like Yosef saying, we think the first opinion holds that it has to be written the Shema with this woman in mind. And he says, Rabbi Achai Bar Yoshi Omer, because like Shir Lashkoba Sota Acher. Rabbi Achai Bar Yoshi says, no, I could use the Megillah for a different Sota. It doesn't have to go to waste. If the first woman said, I'm Tamea, and so she's out of here, so then we'll use it for a different Sota. Now,
I just learned you put it in Geniza.
Wait, eight lines. We're almost there. So Amar Papa, Sir Papa says, Dilmalohi. Maybe that's not a correct, tushdal between these two braises. Akamu kamar Tanakama hatam. In the second brisa, the Tanakama says that the Megillah is written for Rachel. I can't use for Leah. Elatimin to intik l'shem Rachel lo hadram intik l'shem Leah. It could be that Tana is just saying that if the Megillah doesn't have to be written for l'shema, but if I did write the Megillah specifically for one sota, then I can't use it for a different sota. I can't retread it or redirect it. Aval Torah, the stomach tiva hakanami machakina, but he could hold like the first Tana in the first Brisa that something written stam in the Torah I could use for the parsha sota to be mokei. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says the Malohi. I also for a different reason I hold that it doesn't necessarily match up because Ad Khan in the second Brisa to Amar Rav Yachai Bar Yoshi Hatam Ela Megillah to Ichtov L'Shem Alo Ba'Olam. When Rabbi Achai Bar Yoshia, he says that you can reuse. He says that that so Rabbi Achai Bar Yoshia says Megillah Tachshir Lashkopa Sota Teret. He says I can use the same Megillah for another Sota. That's what Rabbi Achai said in the second Brisa. In the second Brisa,
yeah.
Okay. So he says you could reuse it for another woman. He says that just meant a Megillah. That it was written like L'shem Megillah Sota. It was written for the curse of the Sota. Of all Torah, the Lamech Tiva, but a Torah which is just written to study the Torah, and it wasn't written with intent towards the curses or anything, Hakanan lo Machinan. So maybe he would hold it can't be used. Now, all right, just you see the two dots, we're getting there, Fern. He says, Rabbi Achai Bar Yoshia, lately. Now, Rabbi Achai Bar Yoshia holds that even if the Megillah was written for one woman, I could reuse it for a different woman. So doesn't he hold when it says, there's a Mishnah in Masechet Gittin, Tavla Gereshit Ishto, if Reuven wrote a get to divorce his wife Rachel, bin Malach, and then he reconsidered, he decided not to divorce her, Mitzao ben Iro, and then there's another people from the same town, whose also name is Reuven, but Amar Lo, he says, Shemi Kishimka. You know, it worked out mazel, Dick, that I bumped into you. You know, he said, the first Reuven says, I was about to divorce my wife. I spent all this money on the get, and I decided I'm not going to go forward with it. So he says, "Ay, Baruch Hashem, because, my name is the same as you." He says, "V'shem ishti, shem ishtaka," and my wife's name is the same as your wife. And we live in the same town. And then, Baruch Hashem, now I'll save a whole bundle of money for this sapros. This is Pasul Garishba.
Hashemun.
So he says, you're not allowed to use that get. You can't use that get because it has to be written the Shema. The get has to be written the shame of this man and that woman. Even the name is the same. I can't write it. So how does he do with the Parsha Sota? How come not? So this is Amri. They said in the Amri, Hata v'chata v'lam arachmana. So ba'inik t'yiv l'shema. He says, no. Or by get, it says v'chata v'law. So Chazal said v'chata v'law, it has to be written the Shema. So here not. So the Gemara says, v'chata nami v'asa law. But here, by the Parsha Sotis, is Asala Kohen, Yomid La. It should be like the Lishma. So, what's the requirement should be here? So, my Asiya Mechika. No, what does it mean Asiya? It means the Mechika, when he's dissolving the cloth, it's in mind for this woman. But not necessarily. Okay, now we're ready. Okay, let me just summarize what we did. Then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, and then we'll hear from Fern in a minute. Okay, so the issue we got into this whole story about Rabbi Meir with his Rebbeim, i.e., Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And the idea was that that Remeir would add concomitant to the ink, and in the first version, Rabbi Shmuel objected to it because he says that how can you write a sefer, you write the parsha sota, and then it has to be susceptible to use. So then the Gemara lets it on in a different brayso. It's not a Yudas, said the Remeir, which said that you put concomitant in the ink for everything right in the Torah, you put concomitant in, except for the parsha of the sota. In the sefer Torah, you don't put concomitant. It has to be susceptible to being erased or dissolved. And Rabbi Yaakov said, in the name of Remeir, a different version, said you write concomitant everything except the parsha of sota and the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara said, what's the nafkamina between the two dinim? So the nafkamina would be whether you're allowed to take the psukim from a sefer Torah to use it for the parsha of the sota. So according to the first opinion, I could take the psukim. So in the first opinion, within Remeir, and this seems the same as Rabbi Shmuel before, that I don't need ketiba l'shma, and we saw this in the Gemara, I don't need ketiba l'shma. So Mela, so I have to write, and presumably the Sefer Torah have to be written in a way that people could take it, even though they've ruined the Sefer Torah. But so the first opinion holds, I could take the psukim from a regular Sefer Torah, use it for the parsha sota. The second opinion is no, it has to be written in the Shema. So it's only in the Beis HaMikdash that I can't use the concomitant. That's the first opinion. Then we quoted a second brisa, and we thought the second brisa was the same as the first brisa. The second brisa said that that you're not allowed to use the Megillah for another sota. I can't use the same Megillah for another sota. So we thought that must be the Tana Kama in the second brisa. We thought is the same as Rabbi Yaakov in the first brisa, that it has to be written l'shma. And the second opinion was Rabbi Achai Bar Yosha. He said that the Megillah, if written for one sota, is kasher for another sota. And then we thought that it doesn't have to be written in Shema. That's what we thought. And if that's the pshat, everything matches up 100%. Then the Gemara says, no, it's not true. He says, as far as the Tana Kama is concerned, that the Megillah is not kasher for another sota, it could be he holds, if it was written in Shema for one woman, then it's not written, then it's not good for another woman. But it doesn't have to be written in Shema. Then it's an all-purpose Megillah. And so that doesn't necessarily match up. And then the second opinion that said, according to Rabbi Bar Yoshia, that the Megillah for the first woman is kasha to give to another woman, he says, yeah, but it has to be written the Shane Parshat Sota, in the written Sefer Torah now. Okay, Fern, you've been patient. All right, what's up?
Right, I had many questions. I only remember two now. We learned before tonight, and I don't think I'm sharp on that, is that under circumstances, she wouldn't drink, so it would go into Geniza. If you were allowed to use it for someone else, why would it need to go into Geniza?
So you mean the Mishnah we just learned, the Mishnah we just had about the...
Right.
Yeah. So again, this Mishnah seems like goes like Rabbi Akiva. And I think Rabbi Akiva holds it has to be written in the Shema. It has to be written in the Shema. So
to go into Geniza.
Right. He's Mestam Mechuluk on this other opinion. But we'll see further in the Gemara. But go ahead.
Okay. And also, are you allowed to passel the Torah just so you shouldn't have to write the few psukim for a sota? Under what circumstances can you intentionally passel the Torah?
I mean, I don't know, but that's the way it sounds like in the Gemara. Although it's not really necessarily passing the Torah. In other words, you cut out one urea. No, I'm saying right. You cut out one urea, like one sheet of the Sefer Torah, and take what you need for the sota, and then write another urea, and then sew it back in. But
might as well write for the sota and not.
All right. And maybe you don't have anything quite available right now, and then later on you will. Otherwise, I don't know. Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, now we're running out of time, and I have to move forward. Okay. So we're midway down the column on Chaf Amud Beis at the two dots. Okay, please hold off all questions. So Eina Maspeka L'Shtoadat Shepanei Mechulei. So before she would even complete drinking, her face would turn sallow, her eyes would protrude, the veins would protrude. So Mani, according to our Mishnah that says everything happens right away, Reb Shimon Hi, then our Mishnah apparently must be like the Tana Reb Shimon, Mishnah Bar Yochai. D'Amar Makrivit Min Chataba Farkach Mashka. So remember, the sota water is not effective until the mincha is offered. So if she's drinking and immediately it's effective, that means the mincha was offered already. So it means our mishnah must be like Tan Reb Shimon, who holds the mincha is offered before she drinks the water. The common lokarva mincha tal ubarti lamaya, before the mincha is offered, the water doesn't work. The theme mincha tzikron maskir avon, that the mincha causes like her avera to be removed in shemayim. So ema seifa. So the Gemara says, but let's go to the seifa of our mishnah. Yishla zechud I taught tolala. It says that if she had a zechus, it would delay the impact of the water of the sota. Atan the rabbanon. So there's a machloket later on. We'll see in that pafeis. So today is Tuesday. So on Thursday's daf, there's going to be a machlok between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. But Reb Shimon does not hold that the zechus is tola. The Chachamim hold the zechus is tola. So the Reb Shimon Amar ain zechut tola b'mayim amarim. So here you're saying the mishnah is going like Reb Shimon, but it doesn't seem like the second part to the zechus tola goes like Reb Shimon. So Amar Reb Chista, Amani Rabbi Akiva hi. So Reb Chista says our mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva, which is what I was saying to you, Fern. Our mishnah follows Rabbi Akiva. Da Amar Makrivim Nechatav Acharkach Mashka. He holds like Reb Shimon that you offer the mincha and then you give her the water, and he also holds the zchut sabar like Rabbanim, and then he's like cherry picking his sheet out, and then when it comes to zchus, he holds like the Chachamim. Okay, let's see further. So the people would say, take this woman out of the base of Mikdash after she drinks the water, so she shouldn't be Matami the place. So my words, no, they don't say. The Mishnah says, Hotsiua, what's the name of the Mishnah? It says, Hotsiua Shlot Tami Azar, right? That she shouldn't be Matami the Azar. So my Tama, the Dilma Meta, so why take her out? The Stama, we're afraid that she's going to drop dead on us. The implication would be that a maid is Asur Machin Alamiya. So again, the Beis HaMikdash proper begins when you're interior to Shari Nikanor. In other words, there are 15 steps. You open the 15 steps. Then you have the Shari Nikanor. Now you enter the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, the Ezras Yisrael. That's the din of the Beis HaMikdash. Outside those 15 steps, that's like the din of the Harabayah, that's Machin Alamiya. So the Gemara says around 20 lines at the bottom. So he says, the main road to meet Astra Machan Levia. The implication of our mission would be that a dead body is prohibited in Machan Levia, but Tanya, but we learn in the Brisa, to me, mate, we tarly to the Machan Levia. A person who touches a dead body can enter the Machan Levia, the Hara Bayit, and go up to the Sharin Tanor. Below to me, but not just the person who touched, who came to contact with the dead body, Amru, Elafil made Atmo. Even the dead body itself, a cadaver, could be brought on the Hara Bayit. The Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef. He says, "Imo b'makitzato" means "imo" in his where he lived in his Machan Levia. So Amar Abaye shematifros ninim. So Abaye says, "No, the Pshat of the Mishnah is that we're afraid that she's going to become a nida right now. That she's going such a severe fear right now. She's going to become a nida, and nida is not allowed in the Har Abaye. The neighbor to be a tuta marafia." So the implication is that a sudden fear causes everything in the body to become looser. This is in the Kiba Kitkal Hamakama Od. That's right. It says in the Megillas Esther that Esther was terrified, and then there's a drasha, but Tikhal Kal is fear, but Tikhal Kal could be Khalulim, that like her body was filled like with like tubes, in other words, like she became a nida. She says, "V'amar Rav shapir sanida." So Rav teaches that Esther became a nida when she hears what Mordechai says. Everybody's going to be killed in a few days, or whatever, on the 13th of Adar, and then Batilcha Falama Kalod. She was terrified. So you see that the fear, sudden fear, causes everything to become looser. So, but the Gemara says, "V'anan tanan charedam selected damim." So the Gemara says, but there's a Mishnah Masechet Nida that says that there's always a presumption that Oreach Bezman Obah, that a woman, her period comes at a regular time, and even if she doesn't see the blood, there's a presumption that she had the period. But if she's in hiding, afraid from enemies, then because she's so fearful, then there's no presumption that Oreach Bezman Obah. So the Gemara says that's a contradiction. Here we're saying that the fear loosens everything up, and then we're saying that not that way. So the Gemara says, a general fear that causes things to be contract. He says, biatuta, but a sudden fear, marafia, that loosens everything up. So here, with this woman with the water, like a sudden fear, he's got agita, and the same thing with Esther. Okay, I got to run, and then we'll pause in a few lines, okay? So 10 lines from the bottom, and then tomorrow, everybody think. Yesh la zchud haitav chulei. If she has zchud, a merit, so then she could, according to the that was according to
Benazai.
Benazai, yeah. If she has zchus, so it'll stave off the impact. Yeshchud haitav chulei. So mani mani tins. So who does our Mishnah go like? So again, in our Mishnah, the zchus could stave off the impact for 3 years if she has a big zchus. So mani mani tins. Who does our Mishnah go like? Lo abi Yosi ben Kanan. There are three times we're going to learn about the Braisa, and it doesn't seem like our Mishnah goes like any one of them. The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, if she has a place according to this Braisa, she could stave off the impact for 3 months. The amount of time it would take, like an Ubar, newborn child, to be recognized and a woman who's pregnant, he's connecting and it says, Viniktab in Israel Zara, that she'll. In other words, the simple pshat in the pasuk is that if she was not tmeya, if she didn't commit adultery, now she'll have children. It'll be a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he's learning the pesukim that v'niktavin Ezra Zara, that the impact of the mayim hama'arim could be delayed as much time as it takes for to recognize that a woman is carrying an ubar. Reb Lazar ben Yitzchak Yishpar Darom Omer Tshach Hadashim. Reb Lazar ben Yitzchak Yishpar Darom says 9 months it could hold it off. Shinemar ben Ittaben Ezra Zara, he says that she'll, you know, bear children. Ulahalan Homer Zera Yabdenu Yisupar. That in the future, like the Jews later on, the progeny they will have, they'll tell them everything that Hashem did. Zera Haruila Saper. But it means Zera. He's darshening out the pasuk Yisupar means they will be told about the Maaseh Hashem. But he's saying Zera means that it's Ruui that he could relate to it. So it means like Rashi. 5 lines above where it gets wide. Haruila Saper, the Fiotal of Oli de Sipur Shiposhamakom. So what it says, Zera means like a newborn child. It says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shemus Rakodesh. Rabbi Shmuel, the third opinion holds that it could be up to 12 months. But nobody says 3 years. The Afapishim Rayel Gabar Zeikh of the Gabar. Even though we don't have, he says, an explicit proof that the Zepus can hold off for a year, but I have a remnant from Sukim. Dichtiv. Now he quotes from Sefer Daniel. So when Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and he dreams like, I don't know, he's eating, like he's living among the animals, he's eating the grasses and the wild, things like that. So Daniel says, there's been a bad decree, you're going to lose your kingship, but you can stave off this disaster. Lahain Malka Milkish Barlach, therefore a king, my counsel should be good for you. The Chatayak Mitztaka Prok. Your Avero, you should redeem through Tztaka. It was due a Maasim Tztaka, Ba'aviyatach Nichan Anyan. And your wrongdoing, you should show grace to those people who are poor. So the top line, Nein Teve Arka L'Shtayvate. And then you'll have more time in serenity, Uchtiv. And then it says, Hulomata Mubuchanetze Malka, that eventually everything befell Mubuchanetze the way he saw in the dream. Uchtiv, Yarka Treasar. He says after 12 months. This is the top line in Rashi. He says, "Pain teve arka l'shlei bateich l'shlei bateich v'asei orach zman l'shlom b'kar shal yivo alecha purna b'chinavan asan b'chanetzar." That's what the b'chanetzar did. He had the kavish before Yom in Israel. He gathered all the poor people. Shevi begola v'yitzrichem mizonot. They needed like mizono food l'parnasam. And he supported them. So Daniel thought that it would help the Jewish people, and it worked out well, but it only held off for 12 months. So the Gemara says, with the opinions of the Braisa are 3 months, 9 months, 12 months, but not 3 years. So line three, the Olam, Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, no, our Mishnah follows the last opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who says the Zechus can hold you off for a year. For Ashka Karada Amar Vitani. He found the time of our Mishnah found another pasuk to multiply the time that Rabbi Shmuel said. Rabbi Shmuel said a year, but the thief Pomar Hashem al Shoshap Shei Edom. That Hashem says, you know, I've been willing to, you know, put up with the three Aveirot of Edom. So, you know, it means like three times I'll give you forbearance. He says, let's take a look at the Rashi, the fifth narrow line. He says, so So 12 months times 3 is 3 years. So why is it minimal proof? Isn't that a good proof? And what was wrong with that last proof? Zeicher means just the rabbit. Sounds like a fantastic proof. He did this request and held it off for a year. Maybe goyim are different because Hashem, with Jews, Hashem wants to punish right away and clear the table. But goyim, he wants to put it away and punish them in the next world. So the fact that they have a raya, let's look at Rashi in the 10th line, the lifted dina alayhu, in Maram and Ashram, the quote of the Tamil Lehem, but Lamazah, well, Mishram, Maram, the quote of Lamazah, but Dr. Makram, Jews, Shem is on their case very much. Okay, 1 second. Let me see what I have here. We'll see where we go. One minute. Okay. I have time for a quick 2 minute story. I hope you'll stay here, Yosef, okay? Okay. You'll stay also there, right? Okay. Now, okay, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zitzal put that if a person has a great success to his credit, even if he's otherwise spiritually bankrupt, his merit remains. A certain young man was slated to marry when tragedy struck. In Israel, marriage between Jews is completely under the jurisdiction of official rabbinical courts. When the Rabbanut checked into the young man's lineage, they discovered he was a mamzer. His mother was completely upfront about this fact, and the Rabbanut naturally forbade the marriage. The non-religious couple was incensed. A well-connected couple, they soon got the secular government involved. The government's answer was to pressure a certain well-known rav to quickly find a heter. This rav wrote a long tract permitting the couple to marry. When Rabbi Yashu Zitzal saw this tract, he declared that it didn't comply with valid halakhic process and resigned from the rabbinic court. All the Gaonim signed an absolute repudiation of this rav, absolutely invalid any psak he gave. The one and only time that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach attended a meeting of the Moetzes Gedolei Torah was regarding this issue, when many people who were pained by this terrible counterfeiting of halakha for a kriya publicly, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach joined them. Despite all this, whenever this man's name and infamous deeds came up in conversation, Rav Shlomo Zalman would make sure to remind those present of this man's great merits. We must not forget that it is only due to this man that the Israeli army is kosher at all. On today's daf, we find that even if a woman was guilty of adultery, the sotah waters would not immediately work if she had a zakus. Let us not forget this point lesson. Let's refrain from allowing the negative to obscure the positive.
Thank you.